Now, for some of you, you've just been coming to our church for several weeks or several months, maybe less than a year, and you kind of know the Be Rich story in terms of what you've heard here. But we want you to know and hear the whole story, and specifically, we want you to know the impact that you made this year through Be Rich. So this is Be Rich.
It started in 2007 with three churches and one simple goal. We would partner with incredible nonprofit organizations who were already making a difference and multiply their efforts. That year, we raised just over $400,000 and served over 2,800 hours, all benefiting our nonprofit partners. But more importantly, we unleashed a wave of generosity we believed was worth repeating. As years passed, our network of churches grew. And as it did, that wave spread its reach across the globe. Hundreds of thousands of people were inspired to be generous in response to God's extravagant generosity towards them. As a result, our partners were able to make an even bigger impact than they ever imagined. This year, 77,000 people across 76 churches, 20 states, and 5 countries have come together to make a difference. Now, here's a glimpse of the impact you've had on our nonprofit partners and those they serve as we celebrate the wave of generosity that began 14 years ago and continues today. Let's start with Gwinnett County. The North Gwinnett Co-op works to bridge critical gaps for families in need while setting them on the path to self-sufficiency.
I am so excited to be here, Mary, to give you a gift on behalf of everyone who gave to Be Rich. So here it is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Can we hug?
Oh, absolutely. Please, come on.
So the North Gwinnett Co-op is actually celebrating 30 years this year. We service the families that live in Suwanee, Sugar Hill, and Buford. Specifically with our food pantry, we help with non-perishable. We have a thrift store. And we partner with you to help with special events such as backpacks. We'll have Thanksgiving meal boxes. We'll also have holiday gifts, Christmas gifts, and a toy shop. So we also help families in a time of crisis. We believe that we want to give a hand up versus a handout. COVID threw us, and I remember the statistics, in 3 months, we had given out as much food as we had done all the last year. Thankfully, we had expanded the food pantry, so we were able to serve others. It was busy, but up front, we would see families that never knew they needed our service, but they came, and we were more than happy to help them. The money from Be Rich is going to bless a lot of families, specifically back here in the pantry where there's certain items that we truly need, or with the newly expanded thrift store with operations. So we are extremely grateful for your generosity. Be Rich volunteers are wonderful. Every time they come in, they don't even have to wear the shirt because what they wear on their heart, I recognize that they're truly here to serve, have a little fun, and make it joyful. And we love the season when Be Rich volunteers come in. We couldn't exist or be as productive or be as helpful to our families without your partnership, sincerely.
Be Rich partners with organizations across the globe. So let's hear from the Hope Center about the difference they're making in Costa Rica.
10 years ago, my husband Julio and I moved from Atlanta, Georgia, with our small family, to San Jose, Costa Rica. We came here to start a church, and we came here to start a Hope Center. A Hope Center is a place that helps to serve children living in extreme poverty. It gives children that don't have many opportunities to grow a place that is joyful, it's full of beauty, and it's also full of hope. So every day, we serve over 500 children, giving them empowerment through academics, but also we get to talk to them about the love their Heavenly Father has for them. Thanks to your generosity, we get to build a second Hope Center right here. And that is a really big deal because that means we get to serve more than 1,000 children. It's going to impact their whole family with empowerment and hope. So from the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you for being rich in good deeds.
Now let's head to the Atlanta Mission, one of the first organizations to partner with Be Rich.
The Atlanta Mission started in 1938, so we're 83 years old. Our mission statement is to transform through Christ the lives of those facing homelessness. We do that across four campuses in the city of Atlanta and outside of Atlanta. And our whole heart is to see men, women, and children who are facing homelessness have their life transformed. So the big thing Be Rich is going to help us with this year is really around our food costs and some of our equipment, even in our kitchens, that need to be repaired because we've overtaxed systems trying to serve in this very difficult time. Be Rich has really stepped up to help us not make that a negative for us this year, but to allow us to stay whole in regards to being able to continue to serve in a way that Christ would want us to serve. You know, the Be Rich volunteers are one of my favorites for a couple reasons. I love to hear their stories. I love to hear their experiences, and I love to see their enthusiasm when they show up. You know, one of the unique things of those we get the privilege to serve is that so much of their life, people have promised them they would show up, and they don't. And so they are overwhelmed when someone who doesn't have to show up shows up. And so when a volunteer comes to serve who they know doesn't have to, it adds an incredible value to them that they think they really do matter to God because someone who loves God comes and shows them, you know what, you do matter. One of the greatest privileges of the Atlanta Mission is that we've been able to partner with Be Rich since you started. And truthfully, it's made an enormous difference in our ministry in so many ways. It's hard for me to say what you guys do is little because whatever you give matters. But let me just say, maybe you think it's a little. It's a lot. It's a lot to a person that we serve who has nothing. Thanks for being generous with whatever God laid on your heart to give.
And finally, let's hear from Our Daughters International. Since 2009, they have rescued over 10,000 girls from human trafficking.
I am super excited on behalf of Be Rich to present you this check.
Friends, with Be Rich's help, we have been able to rescue thousands of daughters' lives. We have been able to save hundreds of those daughters from being taken away from the countries of Nepal. And now, not only have they been physically rescued, they've been spiritually been saved as a matter. So these daughters, without the Be Rich campaign's help, we would not be able to do that. One of the biggest cause of human trafficking is poverty. And when this poverty is happening, people are, even the traffickers are more desperate to take more girls and make money from there. The COVID-19 made the traffickers more bold and to traffic the girls because they were more desperate making more money in during this difficult time. So Be Rich campaign is not only help us, allow us to stand in the border and rescue the girls, but even more further than we rescue and then we train them to become a leader. So they would become a leader to go back into the society, to make others safe in the society. Thank you, Be Rich. Thank you so much for your generosity. This is gonna help us to rescue and counsel 6,000 girls from out of human trafficking. I feel a victory. I feel a victory, I feel a joy. I feel a kind of, I'm not alone in this fight. I have a team like you, friends. Without this, it's impossible for us to do what we are doing.
According to Jesus, and when he said this originally, the people in his original audience had no idea the magnitude of this. He was looking way into the future. I guess he was looking at us. And he says in that, you know, we call it the Sermon on the Mount. He looks at this very disenfranchised, confused, oppressed group of people who had some interest in following him. And he said, "You are the light of the world." And they thought, "No, we're not. We're not the light of anything." Little did they know that that little spark of 2,000 years ago would ignite a fire that really would create a light in a very dark world. And the world will always be dark. And according to Jesus, there will always be a light. And if he's correct, and I always think Jesus is correct, I mean, if you predict your own death and resurrection and pull it off, you just go with whatever he says, right? We say that all the time. And he said that we, that you, are the light of the world. And there's a sense in which be rich is how we, in the words of Jesus, let our light shine before others that they might see our good deeds and not glorify us and not say, "Wow, what a great church and what nice, generous people," but they would see our good deeds and ultimately look up and glorify or look up and connect with and understand that there really is a Father in heaven. And honestly, and you can imagine if you could just put yourself in my place in just this one little slot of my life, asking you and asking people all over the world really now to give, to be rich is really an easy ask. And Sandra would tell you, on the Saturday night before Be Rich, especially the past 8, 9, 10 years, you know, I'll sit at my kitchen counter with my little notes, you know, my little screens, you know, trying to memorize all this stuff. And I think to myself, it's perhaps the most humbling moment of the year when I think, "God, thank you that tomorrow I get to stand up in front of amazing people and I get to say the words, 'Give $39.95, you know, and everybody laughs and giggles and the new people are like, "What? Is this what, the infomercial? What are they doing, you know?" And I just say, "Give $39.95. And then several weeks later, millions, as you're gonna see in a few minutes, of dollars come rolling in from you to do this fabulous work all over the world. It's an easy ask because the money goes directly to organizations that are serving the underserved. And honestly, that version of generosity, you know, there's a need, meet it, there's a need, meet it, here's a need, give some money to it. That's not an exclusively Christian way to give. You know, that it's kind of an American way to give. But what maybe you don't know is that it was influenced by a Christian ethic of generosity. Because in ancient times, that the kind of generosity where, hey, there's a need, give some money to meet it, that was actually considered foolish. It was considered irrational. There are, you know, ancient writers who said that kind of giving is actually unvirtuous, because why in the world would you do something for somebody else who can't do anything for you? I mean, why would you give your hard-earned money, or why would you give your time or your resources to somebody who can't do anything for you? If they can't return the favor, why would you do them a favor to begin with? This was the assumption of the ancient world. It is still the assumption in many parts of our world. I have friends, one in particular, I was gonna tell this whole story, but it's a little bit too long, who because of business in a somewhat third world country, his heart was broken over the poverty in that country. He began an organization in the country. He's an American, but he began an organization in this country. And because of his business, he knows very wealthy people in that country. And he would say, "Andy, I can't get them to be generous to this organization in their own backyard, taking care of kids in their own backyard." He said, "I don't get it." He said, "When I try to get them to give and they have plenty of money, some of these men are just family generational money. They're vastly wealthy." He says, "Their response is, 'Hey, I pulled myself up, you know, out of poverty myself. They can pull themselves up as well.'" He says, I just don't get it." And I said, "Because we think giving to meet a need is human nature. It is not human nature. Human nature is, I'll do something for you if I think you can do something for me." And then along came Jesus and introduced a different way of thinking. And consequently, where Christianity flourishes, and I know some of you are kind of anti-Christian, or you're watching, it's like somebody's making you watch, or they're buying you lunch, and you're, you know, the whole Christian thing wigs you out. I get it. But here's what's undeniable: where Christianity flourishes, people flourish. Because generosity and compassion in the Christian faith are considered virtues. And it stems from the most famous verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. I'll let you fill in the blank. For God so loved the world that he, yeah, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. And the reason this kind of generosity was launched in the world, it emanated from the gospel. For God so loved that he didn't give to people who could give back. God so loved the world, he gave to people who were incapable of giving back. And then he says to us, I want you to do for others what I've done for you, but I want you to do it in a way that they can see your good works and go, wow. And then you be quick to point them towards your Father in heaven. But giving spontaneously to help immediately, which is what Be Rich is, and we're always gonna do that, and we love doing this. I call that giving 1.0. That's giving when asked to meet an immediate need. And all over our society, there are opportunities to give immediately, to meet, you know, to give spontaneously, to get, meet an immediate need. And that kind of giving should always be part of our culture. It is good for our culture. But what makes Be Rich possible is those of you, the thousands of you, who are what I call the 2.0 givers. You don't wait to be asked. You're planned, percentage, priority givers. You've already decided ahead of time that you're gonna give. And you choose a percentage off the top and you just give it before you even have an opportunity to save it or spend it. And it's a priority for you. You give it first. You've decided ahead of time. You don't wait to be asked. You give first, then hopefully you save second, and then you live on the rest. And for years and years and years, I've taught this, and I certainly didn't make up the concept. I just kind of made up the way we talk about it. You give, you save, and you live. You give, you save, and you live. And those of you who have embraced that as a lifestyle, you're the reason that Be Rich is possible. You're doing, whether you think about it in these terms or not, you're doing for the next generation what a previous generation did for you. You're ensuring that the local church is in a position to be the light of the world. And I am so extraordinarily grateful. I'm grateful for every $39.95 gift, but I am so grateful for those of you who have given all year long and have given for years so that we could do what we do in this season, especially in light of what's happened the last 19 months. You know, about 19 months ago, our pastors all got together from all of our churches and we said, look, we are not gonna talk about money. Let's just do ministry. We're gonna trust God. The givers are gonna give. The people who aren't gonna give, we're not even gonna remind them. Let's just do this. And if we run out of money, we'll get up and say, hey, we are out of money. But let's not talk about money. I mean, remember the beginning of COVID, there was so much insecurity. The economy just tanked and, you know, 401ks tanked and people were losing jobs. I'm like, the last thing we're gonna do is get up and say, the church needs your money. I said, so let's don't mention it. Let's just do ministry and trust God. And then when there are needs in the community, let's collect backpacks, let's collect bicycles, let's raise money for emergencies all over the world. Let's keep being a very outward focused giving organization. But let's just chill when it comes to talking to people in our churches about money. Now, if you've been coming for a while, you're like, chill, Andy. I've been coming here for years. You almost never mentioned it. I know we quit taking up an offering years ago. So it's not like we've overloaded you talking about money. So, but the good news is in those 19 months, and I mean, you know, you don't live in the world I live in. I know you love our church and love your church, but I'm telling you, to see what happened in our churches financially over 19 months when we weren't even meeting, much less having an opportunity to say, you know, give to the church, you know, because we didn't do that. You were amazing. You were amazing. But that was the 2.0 givers. It's the ones that's like, you know, I'm going to give a percentage. I'm going to give it first and I'm going to live on the rest. And I'm going to make sure the church is ready for the next generation, that it's the light of the world. I don't even have words to tell you how not just grateful I am, but how proud I am of us as a group of local churches who understand that kind of generosity. Because you understand that planned giving, giving ahead of time and planning ahead of time is what makes spontaneous giving possible. Or to put it another way, and this is kind of weird, okay, if this is weird you say, I didn't get that part. Do you, kind of a trick question, do you know how long it took us to raise several million dollars in 4 weeks? Do you know how, I know, it's like, what? Yeah, do you know how long it took us to be able to raise several million dollars in 4 weeks? It took us 26 years. It took 26 years because of folks like you who gave to build parking lots. I mean, that's just not really cool, right? Or to build buildings, or to, you know, to buy land, or to create children's environment. That's a little bit cooler because you get some, there's a return, you know, for that because you got children. To buy AV equipment, to buy microphones. And you have what every single follower of Jesus has. And again, you don't think of it in these terms. You have a plan for how you plan to support your local church financially. Every single Jesus follower has a plan for how they plan to support their local church financially. Not every Christian and not every believer, but every follower. And so for those of you who are in that category, I just wanna say thank you. It's what allows me to sit at my, you know, counter in my kitchen on Saturday night and know that no matter how much money we raise and no matter how much money we give away, I don't have to worry about the blocking and tackling because there's a group of you that understand that the church is the light of the world and you have funded your local church, whatever local church you attend, and you've done that consistently. You're the reason that we're able to do what we do week in and week out in our churches, all over our communities, all over our city, and all over the world. And then, after all the daily stuff, turn around and give several million dollars away. But here's where I feel, and I'm not asking for sympathy. Here's, every few years I say this to you, so this may be the first time you've heard it, but this is where I feel a bit of a failure as a pastor. And again, don't say, Andy, we love you. No, I'm not asking for anything, okay? This is really on me because I'm the leader and I'm responsible. And this is baffling to me. Only about 27% of the people, and this isn't new, and this is kind of almost on a national average, only about 27% of the people who would say North Point Community Church is my church, or Buckhead Church is my church, or East Cobb Church is my church, whatever campus you attend, or whatever church you attend in whatever city you live in, only about 27% of the people who would call their church home, have a plan for how they plan to support that local church financially. And this is baffling to me. And I don't think it's because the other, you know, about 75% of you are greedy. I don't think you're greedy. I just think you don't have a plan. I don't think you aren't ungrateful. I just think you just never came up with a plan. So make a plan, okay? Because look, I don't want you to be the average American that gives the average American way. The average American way of giving is, you know, it's spontaneous. Oh, there's a need and somebody pulls on my heartstrings and, you know, I'm going to write a check. You should give that way, but you should give better than that. And here's why. And it comes naturally for all of us to be kind of spontaneous in our giving, because Americans in general, we prefer, and this is foolish and embarrassing, but this is all of us. We prefer just in general intervention over prevention. Now let me explain the difference between these two words, okay? Intervention is as in the, like in the middle of vention. So you know what a vention is, right? No, I don't either, okay? Intervention is like it's in the middle of vention, but prevention is before a vention. Okay, that didn't help. Okay, let me make an illustration, all right? So here's the illustration. You ignore your health, right? You ignore your health, and then suddenly something happens, and you rush to the doctor to intervene. And he says, you could have prevented this. And you're like, yeah, but I'm an American. We don't prevent things. We intervene in things. We wait for there to be an emergency so we can, you know, that's why we have emergency rooms. It's like, oh, you know, sometimes it's an emergency unexpected. Sometimes it's, you know, you could have prevented this. I know, but I'm an American. I don't prevent things. I intervention things. That's just how we live, right? Or you ignore the fundamentals in your marriage, and then there's a marriage problem, and then you run to a counselor, which counselors are, you know, they probably don't like this part of the sermon. That's how they make a living, okay? I'm all for counseling, believe me. You know, we all for counseling. But that's what we do. We ignore the fundamentals. We don't do prevention. Then there's intervention, and then we go home and go, you know, from now on, I'm going to eat right, and I'm going to exercise, and my wife and I are going to have a date every week, and my husband and I are going to have, you know, couch time and conversation. You know, or you're undisciplined with your finances. And then what happens, you have to have an intervention because there was no prevention. And when you hear it that way, and again, you have your own story, it's kind of silly, it's kind of foolish. And on the backside of it, it's like, yeah, I really wish I had been eating better. I wish I'd been exercising. I wish I'd spent more time with my kids. I could have prevented what's going on right now between me and my kids. Looking back, it's like, we're all for prevention. But you know, if there's no problem to solve and if there's no tension, there's no motivation to be intentional. That's just the way we live. And the same is true for the way that most Americans give. We enjoy giving to solve a problem that we can see rather than prevent a problem we can't see. And both kinds of giving are necessary. And we should all be involved in both kinds of giving. But which is better? Let me go back to your health thing. Would you rather be cured of a disease or just avoid it altogether? I would rather prevent than intervent, right? Intervention giving is emotional and the results are measurable. It's like these kids have a need, this family has a need, this part of the community has a need, we're gonna give and we're gonna, look what we did. Now there are fewer kids that are dropping out of school. Now there are fewer, you know, single parent homes. Now we can measure it. But prevention giving is neither emotional or measurable, but it is superior. And when I say it's not measurable, you can't measure the results of a problem that never materialized to begin with. So planned giving, this is my point, to an outward-facing church is preventative. And those of you who are 2.0 givers to this church or any church, you are preventing things that will never be measured because they will never happen in the first place. And it's not emotional, you don't have to be asked, and it's not measurable. But at the end of the day, it's superior. Prevention giving to when I say an outward facing church, I mean a church that is doing stuff in the community, doing stuff for families, doing stuff for kids who don't just care about spiritual internal things, but external things as well. It prevents divorce. It prevents poverty. It prevents drug abuse. It intersects with people before alcohol becomes something they're abusing. It prevents child abuse. Or to get really specific for just a moment, we have an organization within our organization called Fostering Together, where many of you are fostering kids and adopting out of foster care. In terms of intervention, here's the thing. I can tell you exactly how many children you're fostering and adopting out of foster care. I can measure that because it's intervention. You know, you're just jumping in and helping these kids. But when it comes to prevention, I cannot tell you how many kids weren't removed from their families to begin with because of your ministry and your generosity to an outward-facing church. I can't tell you how many high school students won't get their lives hung up on illegal or prescription drugs because of the influence of Inside Out. I can't tell you how many high school students won't drink and drive because of the influence of a small group leader at Inside Out. I can't tell you how many kids won't drop out of high school because of the intervention, because of the prevention rather, of the relationship with an Inside Out small group leader. I can't tell you how much pain and how much dysfunction and how much heartbreak you have prevented through your generosity to the local church. You can't measure it, but I'm telling you, it's real. Prevention is better than intervention. And giving to an outward-facing, involved local church is some of the best prevention giving you will ever do in your life. So in a minute, as we celebrate what you have done through Be Rich this year, which is mind-boggling. Actually, when I got the video that we're gonna see in just a minute last night, I thought they sent me the wrong one. I did. I was about to call somebody and say, wait, I don't think these numbers are correct. I'll just leave it at that. But here's what I want you to think about before we look at that. I want the rest of you to join the 27% club. Now, it's not really a club. Maybe we should start a club, okay? I want the rest of you to become 2.0 givers because I want you to give better than the average American because you are better than the average American. I want you to give better. I want you to give better, not more. Better, or I want you to give More better, okay? That's really what I want you to do, because you're better, and you know, and you're not greedy. You just haven't come up with a plan. You just haven't thought it through the way I've just described it. So I want you to pick a percentage. And again, you know, I'm not gonna ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do. And honestly, and I've told you this before, this is so easy for me and Sandra, because we were raised in a families where you just tithe. You just gave 10% to the church. You never saw it. I mean, first dollar, there's a dime. First 10, there's one, you know, and then it was 100, then it was thousands, then it became tens of thousands of dollars. But it's just easy for us. It's just the way we've lived. And as we have prospered, our percentage has gone up. So it's easy for me to sit up here and say this to you. But I realize for some of you, you've never done that. And the whole idea of picking a percentage and deciding I'm gonna give it first before I, you know, look at my budget and everything else, it's terrifying. But you know what else it is? It is the most physical, tangible way to do what Jesus has invited you to do as a follower. Is to seek first the kingdom of God and the work of God in the world and the community. And so I just wanna challenge you. You don't have to do 10%. I mean, you can't start like that. I mean, some of you could, but just pick a percentage and decide I'm gonna give it first and I'm gonna increase it as I prosper. And basically I'm just asking you to kind of take the training wheels off your giving, because I know you give because you're not greedy. And be a 2.0 giver. And I don't think you're opposed to this. I don't think you're against this. You just haven't done it. So do it. If this is your church, the easiest way to do it, and for those of you who don't attend here and your pastor's in the room with you, just hang on, I'll get to you in a second, because he or she's about to have a heart attack, okay? You just need to download our app. It's so simple. Sandra and I have been giving through the app since we came up with the apps years ago. And down here, it says give, there it is. And you just set up reoccurring giving. And for those of you who are joining us from different churches, your church has an app and you need to download the app and you need to be a reoccurring giver to your church. And let me just say this. If you don't attend church, if you don't attend church anywhere, but you're a Jesus follower, you need to locate or find a church in your community that's doing great things. And you need to give every single month to that local church, whether you attend that church or not. And I wanna tell you, you should send a letter to the pastor and say, "Dear so-and-so, I'm not ever coming to your church, or I don't attend your church, or I can't attend church, or you know, whatever, but your church is doing great things in the community. And I wanna be a part of what you're doing," because every Jesus follower is someone who supports the local church financially. And you may have been a Christian for a long time. I'm just saying, I want you to follow Jesus. This isn't about the church needs your money because of the incredible people you're surrounded by. We went through 2020, didn't even meet, and we made it fine financially. I want you to be that kind of giver. So just go to the app and just set up recurring giving. And again, for those of you who don't attend here, that's okay. To say it in the most crass, you know, awkward way imaginable, don't procrastinate. Automate. I know that was terrible, but I just thought it was kind of cute. Anyway, okay. Now, here's the last thing, and then we're gonna look at this cool video. Here's the last thing. If you don't trust me, or you don't trust us, or you're like, "I see what you're doing there. I know, because you're smart. You've got me all figured out." Then just look. Then find a place that you trust and find a church that you trust and give there. But don't miss this opportunity to be a part of what God is up to in your community and in your city and in the world. And I'll make you this promise. You will never miss money that you give away to a good cause. Isn't that right, Hal? You will, I'm telling you, you'll miss money you bought shoes with. Sorry, ladies, you'll miss money that you bought stupid gadgets with. Guys, you got a drawer full of gadgets. You don't even know what they are anymore, but it was so cool, you know, $39.95, four easy payments. You know, you bought that thing, never worked anyway. You know, it's too cheap to send back. You will miss money you waste. You will miss money that you misinvest. You will never miss the money that you give that enhances and helps somebody do something great in the world. And here's really the last thing. If you don't do this, let me tell you what's gonna happen, okay? If you don't do what I've asked you to do, here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna be here for you and your family 24/7. Because we're the church. And our Heavenly Father, through His Son, made it very evident that He is here for you, not to get something from you. He's here for you 24/7. And as His hands and His feet, that's what we're going to do. I just don't want you to miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime to partner with others to do together what none of us would ever be able to do on our own. So to those of you that you're about to see, to those of you who gave to Be Rich and made Be Rich successful, thank you. To those of you who gave to make Be Rich possible, thank you. And on behalf of the tens of thousands of men and women and children who have been impacted by your generosity, people you'll never meet and places you'll never visit, I just wanna say thank you. And just how generous were you with your time and your resources? You were this generous.
Hello.
Hi.
Come on in.
Hey, guys. How's it going? On behalf of the generosity from everybody who gave to Be Rich, we just love to present this to you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I mean, that really, really serves our mission. It's what we're here to do. So, thank you.
Every year, here's what we do. We're gonna give and we're gonna serve and we're gonna love in Jesus' name. So let's do what we can do, and let's do what we can do now, and let's do what we can do together.
Hey everybody, on behalf of your generosity through Be Rich, we're here at Furniture Bank.
We are here at Forsyth County Schools Board of Education.
Today we're out at Eagle Ranch,
right outside Goshen Valley Therapeutic Services, and I'm at the North Gwinnett Co-op.
And I'm standing here in front of the offices of Honduras Outreach International.
Hey amigos, ¿cómo están? Estamos aquí afuera del Centro Vida en Saltillo.
I'm outside of Backpack Buddies.
Ebenezer Aboriginal Corporation.
Food for Kids, Otwell Middle School.
Wellspring Living.
Virtuous Women Life Academy.
Love and Action Ministry.
Lakeside High School.
KIPP Woodson Park Academy.
The Real Life Center.
I am standing outside the crew.
We're outside Operation Lunchbox today. We're going to go surprise them thanks to your generosity.
Here we go. All we need is an open road and a chance to see a never-ending world that's beautiful.
Well, on behalf of Be Rich, we're here at Furniture Bank, and we're here to present you with a check to help you go further, faster, be more effective in what you do.
This is our favorite day of the year.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Talayla, y'all work so hard here at Homestretch to get people back on their feet that all the people that gave through Be Rich
have a gift for you.
Wow.
So once you go ahead and open that up.
Hurry up.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe it. This is wonderful. This is really going to change lives. Let's open this right now.
So we wanted to cover all the meals for the rest of the year for all 700 students every weekend.
Thank you from Southside Church and all the Be Rich folks. Yep.
Can I give you a kiss?
You can give me a kiss all you want.
And because of your generosity, we have a gift for them. Thank you so much. Oh!
Impact is like far greater than I could ever explain. Truly is touching the lives of, you know, 730 kids.
It's not just that you give us money, or it's not just that you give us some items, right? Or just volunteer. It's that you come with the whole package, right? You understand that we need volunteers and manpower, but we also need funding to make our work happen.
The number one reason why we got to serve is because the need is great and somebody's got to do something about it.
When you do service projects like this, it's really something that you're able to reflect on. Like, hey, God is using me as much as he's using other people, and he's changing both of our lives.
Be Rich!
Oh, look at that.
We certainly weren't expecting that much, Daniel.
Oh, wow.
We really couldn't do what we do without the help and support of Be Rich.
Generosity fuels change.
You are the hands. You are the feet. You are giving your money to enable us to help the community in the best way that we can. And so many programs are really because of you, not because of us.
We are so incredibly grateful and thankful for the way that you guys have trusted us to do what it is that we feel like God's called us to do at Backpack Buddies. So thank you so much.
And you have just helped make it possible for us to be able to meet the needs of those that are struggling. We are just gobsmacked by your generosity.
Collectively, we're all doing this together. So the little bit that you think may be small is very generous, and we're so grateful.
Our people are going to have comfortable chairs to sit in when they come in for devotion. The awful floor downstairs is going to be replaced. Homeless people will have a way to come in and take a shower. So that's very meaningful to us, and we cannot express our gratefulness.
We would miss you if you weren't here.
Here we go. All we need is an open route and a chance to see.
Begin. We love Be Rich!